Greetings, sports fans. This is JJ Sefton here. This is the Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks podcast. Sefton here with CBD and misanthropic humanitarian. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How is everyone doing?
I'm feeling like a million pieces of you know what.
I'm finer than frog's hair.
Okay, I've never heard that one.
Well, we got a few things on the docket today. Let's just start off with something that I think CBD and I have been today especially bandying about, and that is the concept of what I call justice and what he has turned around and called vengeance, because it all started with me going on about an essay by Conrad Black, who I sort of have a love-hate relationship with. I mean, sometimes he gets it, and he totally gets it, and then sometimes he just goes off on weird tangents. Like, one of them that drives me crazy is he has this love affair with FDR and thinks he's just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and FDR is an insane maniac. But anyway, getting back to his what he was talking about was, at some point, because of what's going on between COVID and between all the lockdowns and restrictions, and the persecution of the January 6th protesters and so on and so forth, and what happened with Trump, a reckoning is coming. And some sort of a reckoning, I do agree with him, is coming. He says, well, what will happen then? And he talks about vengeance. And I said, no. We're not about vengeance. I mean, that's kind of a moral equivalency between our side and their side. I mean, you know, they stole the country. And so I don't want vengeance. I do want justice. Now, that said, that doesn't limit me to the extent of you know, what is the definition of what I call justice? What is it? And for me, it could be anything from life in prison to, you know, to a firing squad. But that caused CBD to have a reaction later on.
I think that justice is a laudable goal. But unfortunately, the conservative movement in the United States has been agitating for justice and fairness for several generations, and it has bitten us in the ass time and time again. And we have been left with a bunch of grifting scum who use our sense of justice against us. And it is time, it is way past time, to shift our focus from justice, which is, as I wrote this morning, the even-handed behavior of a civilized society, and shift to vengeance. We need to crush our enemies. We need to make it painful to be a socialist in this country. We need to make it painful to be a progressive. We need to make it painful for anyone to even think about attacking our rights. And those rights are not just the ones enumerated in the Constitution. We have other rights. And being treated nicely is something that we have been agitating for a very long time, and we've been losing every single time we agitate for it. So it is now time. Vengeance is ours.
You've blown us away with your I was waiting for misanthropic humanitarian. Well, go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I understand where you're coming from, CBD, and I just don't know how we pull it off without igniting that civil. But you know, you look at Ted Cruz, quote, conservative, and, you know, and what does he do about the Canadian truckers and the money sent to them through GoFundMe? And, you know, and GoFundMe says, fuck you, Canadian truckers. And Ted sends a harshly worded letter to the FTC. And you know, harshly worded letters they're not going to get the job done. It's not going to crush socialism and progressivism. And I don't want to say, you know, line them all up against the wall and shoot them, but I just don't know. If you got some ideas, I'm, you know, as Ross Perot would say, I'm all ears.
Here, and this is kind of a drumbeat that I've been on for a long time, and it's basically, and this was sort of to my point of not just Conrad Black, but a lot of other people who don't realize that, you know, we're dead. This country as founded is gone, and so we're sort of going through the motions of quote unquote regular order. But, you know, you go through regular motions of elections and nomination processes and hearings and all this kind of stuff as if nothing really happened. But the fact remains that you still have a bureaucracy in place, you have a corrupt judiciary, and you have a good size of the population who, outside of government, who is all for this. And so you have a divided country, call it a country if you want to. So how do we when do we even begin? I mean, even if we were to win every election, you know, the next two ones, and we win it all back, you still have this problem here that is not going away. And so the notion of trying to, you know, drain the swamp, as it were, or how do you correct that? That's, you know, you talk about seeking justice. I mean, when everything is all said and done, I mean, rioters walk away while innocent protesters get thrown into the pokey without even being charged and are still rotting away because of January 6th. So this is a real, you know, this is the situation that we're in. And it's just, I too don't know how you get out of it short of just, you know, a massive, what the truckers are doing in Canada. And that means not just truckers, but everybody just saying stop. And you basically have, you know, a revolution on your hands.
That absolutely is the beginning of it. But we can also move away from our measured and polite and intellectual political philosophies and use the techniques that the left have demonstrated have worked. For instance, gerrymandering is a great example. We need to destroy them with gerrymandering. You cut up every single leftist hellhole into 10 different congressional districts so that they never, ever get power again. How are we going to do that? Well, it's the grassroots that everyone talks about. We have to start locally and then move to the municipal level and then to the state level. But until we do that, we're going to be shoveling shit against the tide.
But let me just interrupt you for one second and say, well, here's the problem is that when these are things that we would call, you know, and they may be extreme in a way, but they're still within the normal, relatively polite discourse. Meanwhile, this came in over the transom. This is from our wonderful Department of Homeland Security. The United States remains, quote, in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of dis, and malinformation, MDM, introduced and are amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. And what they mean by that is you and me and misanthropic humanitarian and everybody who says, you know, I don't believe that that a guy who dresses in a bathing suit and tucks his junk is a woman. And that's the least of it. So now we have all these institutions that are supposed to be doing things under normal circumstances of upholding the law and meeting out justice, quote unquote, who are now aiming their guns literally and figuratively at us. So even if we organize or you have a school board meeting, yes, you're in a school board meeting and you object to critical race, well, guess what? You're a terrorist.
And look at what's happening when people push back, and they push back aggressively. They push back hard and they win, you know, and that's where the politeness has to go by the wayside. We cannot be, you know, the Buckley conservatives that everyone loves. You know, oh, my God, I'm so articulate. Oh, my God, I've got history on my side. I can quote Aeschylus. It doesn't matter. They're throwing rocks at us. We need to respond in kind, and maybe metaphorical rocks. Hopefully it doesn't come to real rocks. You know, maybe that is what's coming.
Well, you know, maybe we need to get on the George Soros brick brigade and have pallets of bricks lined up. But back to what you earlier said, CB, about the gerrymandering. Well, it's funny is that, you know, we talked our last podcast, we talked about who checks the courts. You know, there was just a Supreme Court decision 5-4 on the gerrymandering. We can gerrymander. It's a political move that, you know, has been accepted over the years. Both parties are guilty of doing it. But it back down to is the deep swamp. You know, Washington, D.C., you've got an FBI that's not accountable to anyone. You've got Capitol Police that murder people. That goddamn cop who shot the woman,
Michael Byrd.
He wasn't even interviewed.
Yeah,
Michael Byrd. And you know, you've got National Weather Service with all sorts of arms and ammunition. I mean, Obama did nothing but militarize all these federal agencies that have so much control and influence on our day-to-day lives, and we're not going to vote ourselves out of it. And I guess what it boils down to is when you sent me out the list of topics for today, all I could think of was like, now I know how a Roman citizen felt when the Roman Empire was collapsing. We're seeing the collapse of it. It's not a matter if it will be a quiet, slow, painful death, or is it going to be, you know, something really fast and furious? I don't know.
Well, as they say, it's slowly, then all at once. Take a break and be back in two. Hang in there. We're back. It's Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks, the podcast, episode number 9, February 8th. J.J. Sefton here with CBD and misanthropic humanitarian. When we left off, Ms. Hume was talking about the death of the Republic.
Yes, I was basically, when I received the list of topics today, I just thought, I now know how a Roman citizen felt when the Roman Empire was collapsed. And I just don't know if it's going to be a quick ending or a slow and painful one.
And I think that we are not quite at the precipice yet. We're damn close. I think that in many ways, the old Republic is dead. But I think that there are possibilities in the future that will allow us to claw back from that, from the very, very edge. I'm not sanguine about it, but we shall see. And one of the things is those wonderful videos that we are seeing more and more of at school board meetings, where the soccer mom that we love to make fun of stands up and says, "Stop right now. Damn it, my kid's taking his mask off, and I'm going to sue you if you don't let him." That's the kind of stuff that we need more and more of. And we are seeing it. Is it enough? I don't know.
But
that's the kind of thing that emboldens our politicians to do the right thing, even though they might not want to do the right thing, because they can see into the future and they realize that those soccer moms are angry.
Well, just as a rebuttal to your rebuttal, and on that note about demanding the end of masking of students in our favorite, one of our favorite places in the country, Loudoun County, Virginia, now that it's just come to light that even though Governor Youngkin has ordered these schools to end the mask mandates, and it's now illegal to impose them on students, and the teachers are pushing back, I just see an article where they're saying that the police are now threatening or going to actually literally arrest children if they refuse to wear a mask in school.
So you charge them with trespassing.
Exactly. So I mean, this pushback and
carries a felony.
Yes. And so at which point, at what point, who's going to back down? It's like this massive game of chicken. And all things considered, when, you know, the government's got all the guns, you know, or got all the, they have all the tools to crush you if they want to crush you. So at some point, you have to sort of be at a point, I think, in society where you kind of have nothing left to lose. You know, you have to have everything taken away from you. Well, now that we're devaluing our dollar faster than Zimbabwe and Weimar Germany, we have supply issues where there's nothing coming in. Oil is going through the roof and everything is collapsing all around us. You know, maybe people really will have that feeling of, well, look, I have nothing left to lose. If these people are taking everything away from me, then I'm going to just say the hell with it and join those truckers in Ottawa or wherever. And the next time there really will be a quote-unquote insurrection in the Capitol, and not just in D.C., but, Richmond, Virginia, Albany, New York, Sacramento, and you name it.
But does the Loudoun County Board of Education really want a photograph of a six-year-old in handcuffs being let out of a school? I mean, that's just fucking insane.
Yes.
And you know something? That will provoke a response from the good people of Virginia.
But they want to see that. They want to see that. The people that have power, I mean, they're not affected by videotapes. If they were, you'd see all the professional liars in Congress going like, oh, yeah, I said that. I can't, you know, change my mind. Any school board that tells them of the state that it's off.
Hey, we got a real crappy connection.
We can't hear you. Yep.
Yeah, we got to. Now we can hear you. I'm going to interpolate or interpret a little bit what Ms. Um was saying is that, and what you were saying is, do they really want the optics of this? And in a way, it's yes and no. Yeah, they don't care about this. Look at this fat tub of lard in Georgia, Stacey Abrams. She has the gall to like talk about whatever she's talking about. She sits down in a classroom full of muzzled children wearing the face diapers, and she doesn't wear one. And then when she's called out on it, guess what she cries? Racism.
Racism, yeah.
So it's like, it's crazy. Meanwhile, as I was talking about, you know, the angel of death, Andrew Cuomo, who is probably has the lives of at least 15, 18,000 elderly people on his hands, all of a sudden, the last crooked district attorney in the state of New York declared that they're not going to press charges on him for groping, you know, for sexual assault and groping women. And he's now strutting around crowing and saying he's a martyr.
He's been vindicated.
He has been vindicated. And he's even saying, I may even run for office again. And, you know, at a certain point, people are going to see this and say, these bastards, something's got to be done. I mean, it's just, it is crazy. So part of it is this absolute arrogance that they can get away with anything. And they know they can get away with anything, but at a certain point, and what that point is, I don't know. People are just going to say, no, buddy, you can't get away with it, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire one way or another.
Agreed. We see it in our history over and over again that all of a sudden people rise up. The question is, has the Republic changed, or the remnants of the Republic changed so much that we no longer have that spark in us? Do we have Lexington and Concord in us? And the answer is, I have no idea.
We'll find out
in the next 5 years, though.
I think it's going to have to come to a point where people literally have their savings wiped out and their lives ruined, and they have to come to a point of desperation where they literally say, I have nothing left to lose, and rise up. And of course, the other side of that coin is, well, will the government have so much power and so much control that they will prevent that from happening? So again, stay tuned.
Yes. Do we have Concord in us? I think in small pockets of the country, you will. I think, you know, the red country is the flyover country. Now, I think the state of New York's a lost cause. I mean, will he come back? He may not, but what they're going to get for a governor is going to be another Democrat. It's not going to be a Republican. It's not going to even be a rhino. It won't even be a conservative. I think that there could be sparks in certain areas, but I don't know. I'm Dr. Doom today. I just don't feel good about
it. Well, New York for sure is screwed because they've literally gerrymandered almost every Republican district into oblivion. I think there are now 3 GOP districts, and now the rest are like 23 or 24 are Democrat after they've gotten through with it. So forget. So New York is a lost cause.
And they did the same thing in New Jersey, and the New Jersey, one of the courts that heard the case, rejected it. So it's gotten the judicial imprimatur. For the ongoing theft of the elections in New Jersey. But it's the purple states, it's the red states on the edge that have to push back hard. And that is happening across the country. But again, I'm not going to argue with we're in a tough place. We're in a very, very tough place in this country. And whether we recover is, you know, that's anyone's guess.
Cut Jib Newsletter speaks. Back in a flash. And we're back, and the topic was Blintzes, or Blitzkrieg, the potential Russian Blitzkrieg into the Ukraine, where we wag the dog, and Vladimir Putin pretends to be Hitler, and Joe Biden pretends to be, I don't know, a rutabaga or a George Patton. Take your pick.
Well, I think that Putin is just having one hell of a good time jerking the West around. He's making the Biden junta look even more feckless than it than it is. And that's an impressive feat. You know, that idiot Biden was squawking about how they're going to cancel one of the pipelines, you know, if they invade. I wondered about that. How can an American president cancel a pipeline in Europe? How does that work?
I have no idea. I know, but which is stupid because, well, first of all, he's already a lot of the reason for Russia acting up is the fact that Joe Biden and his handlers have essentially kneecapped our own oil production and our own, you know, fossil fuel industry. I mean, when Donald Trump was president, we, for the first time in, what, 50, 60 years, we were a net exporter of petroleum because of fracking, because of drilling, because of exploration anywhere and everywhere possible. And then that ended, and then he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. Gasoline now is approaching $7 a gallon in some places. And because we're funding this pipeline project also in Israel, in Greece, and Cyprus, I believe he's shut that funding down too, which is insane.
Well,
and
if he, the Israelis are going to push that forward, yeah, no matter what the funding is. They, you know, they have a huge natural gas and possibly oil field, and that's a game changer in the Middle East. And Israel does not need American funding for that. Would it make it easier? Sure, but there's always going to be a need for natural gas, and that's going to be developed. As you said, his destruction of American production is awful, and crude oil is now over $90 a barrel. That is going to put a significant drag on the American economy. There's a little bit of a lag as the expensive oil filters into the market, but not much of one. You're going to see a decrease in GDP. And that's a direct result of Joe Biden's policies. There's no way around it.
I mean, again, but is this, and this goes back to the other age-old question that we always bandy about, is this incompetence driven by ideology, or is it ideology that drives the incompetence, or some form of both? I mean, look what happens when you do that. If you destroy the economy, then you get that whole Cloward-Piven effect of everything collapses in on itself, and somebody wants, then, you know, the communists come in and take over, and it's paradise on earth. So that's, or is that just being tinfoil hat nuttery, Is some elements of it actually coming about?
I think it's the traditional hatred of the left for petroleum. And if they destroy the petroleum markets in the United States, then what is left? Well, their beautiful pie in the sky, clean energy bullshit or green energy bullshit that obviously won't work. You know, the mania of you know, electric cars and, oh, we're going to be at 100% electric cars in 4 years or 10 years or 20 years. That's great. How are you going to generate the electricity? It's been proven over and over again that we have no capacity for storage of solar and wind and geothermal. It just can't be stored. The only way to store energy in any significant quantity is petroleum. And it's a wonderful thing for that. I can fill my tank up with 20 gallons worth of gas or 20 gallons of gas and move a 2.5-ton car 500 miles. That's amazing. You can't do that with electricity.
To your point, I'm sorry there, Ms. There's a really good article in American Thinker today about called The Inconvenient Truth About Electric Vehicles. And it's basically saying that in order to generate all these, here's the quote. Here's the bottom line. There isn't nearly enough electrical power available in the pipeline to fuel 50 million new electric vehicles by 2030. That would require an additional 150 billion kilowatt hours per year of deliverable electricity. Even the largest power plants only deliver about 8 billion kilowatt hours per year. So to achieve the administration's climate change policy for EVs, America must build and commission about 20 large new fossil-fueled power plants or several dozen large new wind and solar farms. It's impossible by 2030 because large power plants take years to plan, et cetera, et cetera. And plus you have the environmental Luddites who do not want that to happen. So crazy. It's Mr. Goss.
I think that, as I said earlier, that Putin is having a glorious time yanking the chains of every Western country. I don't think he's going to invade Ukraine. He's getting what he wants no matter what. They're gonna collapse and give him a huge new infrastructure to pump his petroleum products into Western Europe. That's what he wants. This is just gamesmanship. I might be wrong. And he'll take 5 miles of Ukraine just to prove that the Russian bear is still alive and has sharp claws. And we've discussed it ad infinitum. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
From our political standpoint, it actually helps the meme that they say, aha, you see, Russia is evil and look who Trump was in bed with. So they're going to milk that aspect of it as well. But who sees if the public buys that or not? I don't buy it, but I can't speak for the idiots in the rest of the country. Anyway, I think we're just about out of time. And JJ Sefton for CBD and Misanthropic Humanitarian, Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks, Episode 9. We will see you again.
See you later, folks.